Glad you've made your way here. I've got just a few announcements here, and then we'll get right into our worship service. I need one more usher to come up and assist Bobby on this side right here. Got that covered. All right. Announced this last week. This is the last week I'm going to announce it. There's a pair of glasses that were found back here in the back. They look like maybe reading glasses. If they're yours, you have till today to get them, or I've got somebody that wants them. I'm just going. It ain't me. It's not me. Look, see, I brought mine today. So anyway, if these are yours, let me know. If not, I'm going to be somebody else's hero. Puppet practice this evening at 5 o'clock. So if you're one of the puppeteers, make sure that you're here at 5 and ready to do that. Okay? This week during revival, Monday night, Jeff Mosteller and his family were here. And I don't know if the individual is in here or not, but this is in your bulletin, and you can read over it. But try to make a long story short. Somebody requested some information about a song that they had done or have done in the past. They wanted some information on that. I guess he wrote down their name and number, but he lost it. And so he apologizes for that. But if you're in here, just see Pam Gandy, and she can help you with that information that you were wanting. Okay? She can help you out with that. All right. I've been given a note. I announced this last week, and evidently it didn't help. So I'm going to announce it again. There is still a desperate, desperate, desperate need for folks to sign up for the trunk or treat deal. Now, if you don't know what that is, what night is it? On Wednesday night, the 18th at 7 o'clock, what folks do is they gather back here in the back with their cars. You just park your car around back. You open up your trunk. A lot of them will decorate their trunk, okay? And you hand out candy. And so they really need about 18 to 20 vehicles and folks to do that. Right now, they have a whopping 7, okay? They're planning on 100 to 150 kids. So they really need some people to participate in that. And it's not just our kids here at the church. There's actually other folks will bring their kids as well. So they need some participants. So if you would, please sign up for that, okay? And just, you know, kid, they don't care. As long as you put something in the bag, they don't care what it is. Gum, candy, whatever. Dollars, doesn't matter.
Apple pie.
Yeah, apple pie. Just, right, it doesn't matter. Pair of glasses, they don't care. I'm sorry. So anyway, if you need assistance with that, check with Emily Lilly. But she's begging, okay? She's asked last week, this week, she's begging. Next week, you have it. So if at all possible, if you could participate in that, it's a great ministry, you know? You've got folks from outside coming in. It's a great ministry. And you can be creative and decorate your car. You don't have to be spiders and scary and all that stuff. You can decorate it in how you want, you know, to glorify the Lord. But that's just another ministry of our church, and we need folks to participate. So please sign up in the back or see Emily, and she'll write your name on the list. But please participate in that and help out, all right? All right. We're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. I'm going to ask ushers to stand and get ready for service. Kip, would you pray, and I'm going to ask you specifically, would you pray that that God would just come on the scene again through the Holy Spirit as he has the last couple of weeks and throughout our revival? And let's just keep the spirit of revival going.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for another beautiful day. Lord, we thank you for the rain. We actually need this rain, Lord. We just thank you so much for that. Lord, we just thank you for the rain.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn.
Thank you. flock without a care. And the time soon came when I'd gone too far and stumbled. And the more I tried, the more I'd lose my way. Shepherd came and found me on the cliffs of sin. From that moment, life has never been the same. Now I'm back where I belong, and I'm so happy. I can hear the shepherd.
Your hymnal if you need it. If you don't, 251, Amazing Grace, as the choir goes down.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thank you.
We kind of planned on doing that tonight, possibly. That'd be good? Okay. All right. We're ready for the word. Faith comes through hearing, hearing through the word of God. We've heard it all week. We're ready for it again this morning. All right? So, Todd, would you ask God's anointing up on the Pastor Al this morning if he brings the message?
Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you, Father. You're the most high, the most awesome.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Father, bless us like you do. Father, we're so thankful that you give your only Son, Jesus, Father, to die in our place, to shed his blood, Father, to pay our sin to you. Father, I'm just thankful. I ask, Lord, that you'll just be with Pastor Al, Father. I pray that you'll just fill him with your holy presence. Lord, just give him the words that we need to hear this morning. Father, most of all, if there's a heart here that don't know you, Lord, pierce that heart. And I just pray that they'll swallow their pride, Lord, and find their way to the altar. Lord, we just thank you. You're just too good to us. And I just pray that you'll just let each one of us lift up your name and your kingdom. Not only in here, Father, but even when we go home and on our job.
Right.
Father,
right.
I just pray, Lord, that you'll just help us to let your spirit shine through us. Help us to be a light, not a stumbling block to you. Father, we just thank you. Praise you. You're the King of kings, Lord of lords. In Jesus' precious name we pray. We thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Rob. Bless you, Rob. Bless your heart.
Bless you.
Amen. Good to have you. Good to be in the Lord's house. It's been a good week, a marvelous week. Last year we had revival with Brother Junior Perdue, and he did a wonderful job, marvelous job. Sir, last year, Junior Perdue. This year, Alan Stewart.
He's going to get his ears checked. I can't hear.
That's all right. That's all right. We had a marvelous revival. Thank you, young man. I'm glad you're here. The Lord's answered prayer. We don't want to forget that. You see, he touched 10 lepers and only one came back to thank him. And you know what? He does so much for us. He gave us a glorious week last year when Junior Perdue was with us. We had a marvelous revival. And you know, these men tell me, you turn with us to the 16th chapter of Matthew. They tell us when they get ready to leave, and it makes pastors feel good. I had all the liberty that I needed in preaching the word. And I'm sure that some don't accept it, but overall we just had a marvelous, marvelous time. Visitors came and regulars came, and the choir showed themselves and the singers showed themselves. And we had a good revival. But you know what happens between last year and this year? We get down. And we begin to get into a rut. So we need revival. But as soon as Alan finished, I'm already asking the Lord to help us to get the right evangelist. And Joy and I was talking, you know, I get here early and shake hands, and we were talking about pleasing people. And I said to them, I'll please every one of you. Some when I came and some when I leave. That's the way it is with evangelists. Some, you know, think maybe too loud, whatever. But I thought he was tuned up. And I don't know where she found it out, but somebody whispered to me and said, Alan Stewart wears hearing aids. He sure sounded good to me, with or without hearing aids. And I thought, my. He said, "Preacher, and another thing I want to thank you and commend you for, you gave him close to $2,500. After the offering was taken, some people came in late and they gave him cash. So it came about $2,500. God will bless you for that. You didn't do it for show. We kept on announcing it. And I never have to worry about that. And I thank you for that. You know, you wonder. But the crowd was good. The music was wonderful. And the Holy Spirit was with us night after night. I don't know about you. I'm retired. I didn't have to rush home and get ready for tomorrow. I could go home and sit down and enjoy it. But I could have stayed longer. And we had some folks visit. She said, "I wish we lived closer." But they don't, and they enjoyed it. So they're probably going to try to get him for a three-night revival. And churches are needing revival.
Yeah.
Churches are needing revival. They're dying. They're dying. But Matthew 16, 18th verse. Just one word. You pray for me. "This I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We don't see the powers of darkness working, but they are at work. They are at work more than we've ever seen before. I want to talk to you with the help of the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for mercy and grace. Thank you, our Father, for the word that was given to us this week. I pray, our Father, that it'll continue to dwell. We'll digest it, we'll treasure it, and our Father, Lord God, we'll keep it in our hearts and minds with your help. When we need it, Lord, bring it to our remembrance through the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Help us with the message. We'll praise you and thank you in Christ's name. What makes a church great to a pastor? Well, we could say the beauty of it. God has blessed you folks. You built a wonderful church. I mean, building-wise. I think it was built with the instructions of the Lord, with a vision, with a burden. We wanted a place where God would be glorified. And all year round, some of you take care of the flowers, take care of the grass, the steeple, the maintenance that needs to be taken care of. All that is good. And people will say, why? When we first built the church, they said, where did you get your plants? And I told them who the master builder or the architect was. He just planted here and they worked together in unity and God gave us his place. And I tell them that, you know, we didn't have nobody backing us outside of the Lord. And he's rich. And he gave us everything we needed. But that doesn't make a great church. That's looking at the outside. That's looking at the flowers. That looks at all these marvelous things, the lighting. And another thing I was informed, and it really blessed me. Listen. Now, I may not be able to tell you what this is. Or how to describe it. And maybe Julie can. Maybe Steve can. But there's a system that's hooked up to our sound system. Is it Skype? Is that what that is? Where they heard in Houston, Texas?
Facebook.
What is it?
Facebook.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, night after night, you folks, through the infiltration of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, people in Houston, Texas was being blessed. They hurt you, and I'm sure you were encouraged. They were encouraged by your singing, the enthusiasm, and people began to mind the Lord. But that doesn't make a great church. All that is important, and we're thankful for it. But I feel four things that we need. Now the revival's over, and the revival don't need to end. Oh, we said we're just going right back, you know. We're already looking at the weather, and we're already saying, and all of us are guilty, or maybe not all, but some of us are. Looks like winter is coming. Well, God gave us those seasons. Don't get discouraged. He made the days. He made the days. But you see, four things that I feel are there about that are must in these difficult days that Timothy talked about. In the last days, difficult times will come. Now, you know what we need? To stay sound, to stay active, to stay on top. We need the Word of God being taught to us in its purity, in its simplicity. And we have some people here that can teach the Word of God that can really inform us and illustrate the Word of God. You know what it is? The Word of God is a map. These silly glasses ain't doing me no good. It's a roadmap. It's a compass. This is a book full of instructions, and we need it every day of our life. Yeah. Ron, what'd you do with those glasses? They might have been mine. I'm not sure. Yeah. 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 It's a road map. It's a compass. It's the mind of God in the Old Testament concealed. The New Testament reveals it to us. This book does not contradict itself. God is not the author of confusion, but God is a God full of promises to prepare our hearts and minds in our journey, in our walk, for the battles that's facing us. Every day. Oh, I heard a fellow a long time ago tell me, he said, I've got saved and now I am ready for the devil. And I thought, the book says, resist him. I don't welcome him. I have enough trouble with him. But you know what? In this book, it tells me how to defeat him. I can try to do it my way. I can try to go about it the way that I think it. But if I go by the instructions of the Word of God, I can't go wrong. It'll prepare our hearts. And I want to tell you, just about the time that Elijah had won the victory over Jezebel, and everything should have been high, and I don't know the time lapse between them, but as soon as he got word that she was after his skin and his head, he began to wither down and hunk down. You see, don't ever forget that we are on the winning side. We don't lose if Jesus leads us. If we go by his credentials, this book ought to teach us it's a redemption story. From Genesis to Revelation. Everything that Mike was talking about in Noah, in the ark, in the animals, the window, the door, there's a purpose behind it. And it's all to help us to understand the Word of God better and better. And there's no use in America for us to be ignorant of what the Word of God says. You know why? Because we can have Bible after Bible, and if you don't like this explanation of it, you can have another explanation of it. But we are blessed to have a book that gives us a love story, a redemption story, and it's all for you and I, what God did for us. Not only that, and people are trying to influence us, and they're doing it through higher means and education. They said there's faults and there's failures in this book. Not so. It's the inspired Word of God. It's not antiquated. It's not outdated. It's up to date. Everything that was taught or inspired in this Word of God was to help us to be stronger in our faith and wise unto salvation. That's what the teaching ought to do, you see. Let's go to the second point. Yeah. Fellowship. My, I'm going to tell you this from my heart. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed and I'm glad that he gave me health enough I was able to be here every night and to fellowship with the people of God. So we need the fellowship. I don't know whether you need me or whether you don't need me, but I'm going to confess to you, I need you, and I need your encouragement, and I need your prayers, and I need your love. You see, God gave us two hands. We're to shake hands with them. We're to pet people in the back. We're to encourage them. When they're down, he gave us a hand to give them a lifting hand. So God gave us a place where we can fellowship. I have a different translation of John 2:17. And I'm going to tell you, you'll probably not find it in your Bible if you have the King James. But this is what it says in the New Letters Translation. Passion for God's house burns within me. You know what it tells me? That you and I, at the end of our day or on Wednesday when you finish your job and you've had a long, drawn-out job and you're wore out, someone said in the church, they came in very tired, but when they left, they were not tired at all. What is that, preacher? That's the Holy Spirit encouraging us. We need one another. We need the fellowship, and we need not only to view the church as beautiful with the lighting, the sound system, but the presence of God. What good would it do us? If we had all this, and I've been in Europe, and I've seen the beauty, beautiful cathedrals. I've seen it all in Spain and in Germany. And you know what? Nothing satisfies, because man is a spiritual being and fleshly being, and he needs the spiritual more than anything else. I've known people that are sick and people that are dying with cancer, but you know, they come out to the house of the Lord and they enjoy themselves. Now, preacher, you're putting too much emphasis in fellowship. We need it. We need it. Jesus, God's Son, on the Lord's day, was in the temple. At the age of 12, they found him quizzing doctors and lawyers. When his family scolded him, he said to them, I must be about my Father's business. I don't know about you, but I look forward to it. And I'm going to tell you for myself. I'm going to tell you for myself. If the time comes with my age or sickness comes my way and I can't get out, I don't want you to ever come. Stop coming. I got to correct that. I don't want you to ever stop coming and checking on me and maybe singing to me or prayer or scripture. I need that. I need that. You say, preacher, you're weak. No, I'm strong in the Lord, but the enemy, you know what he does to people that are not coming and they haven't been here for a while and we miss them? And we say to each other, I miss them. I wonder where they're at. Wonder what they're doing. Let's go a little farther. How much time do you take to write them a little note? Are you sick? What's going on? Is there trouble? We've been missing you. Or you say, preacher, I'm bad about notes. Make a phone call. Well, I no longer have a regular phone. Take your cell. You know, send it. Messages, you see. But there's ways for us to let them know, because as we worship the Lord, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, there's a lot of places and a lot of denominations does not believe in getting as emotional as we do, clapping of hands and praising the Lord and lifting them up. But if you want to read a little bit more about it, you look at Psalms 150, 1 or 150, 3 to 5. It'll tell you about the symbols. It'll take you about all these things. And I think it was Susie that I told one time, if I could, I would play an instrument when they're singing with the kids or with the choir. I love all these other cymbals and all these instruments. They bring a lot of comfort to me. I have an iPod that I use when I'm walking. And I had one of my grand... I'm not too bright as far as fixing this and putting my iPod. So he fixed them all in there. My son fixed them and put them all in there also. So when I'm walking, I begin to listen to maybe Chris, or I'm listening maybe to Dallas Holmes. I'm listening maybe to the Gaithers. But before I know it, I've got my mileage in, and I'm really rejoicing. I've even recorded preaching that I needed. Don't you get enough? No. I need the Word of God daily. So we need fellowship, we need teaching of the Word, not fables, not bedtime stories, the Word of God, the history of it, whatever God gives you, and you study and learn, share it with us. So it will encourage us, and then they cannot preach unless God sends them. Let me use a little illustration that my father-in-law used, and I haven't forgot it. He said this guy got called into the ministry, and he went before the ordination board, and they began to question about his salvation, and he passed that test. They began to ask him more about the calling of God. He said, tell us about it, brother. He said, okay. He said that I was walking one day, and he said, I looked up to the sky, and I saw it clear, GP. He said, okay, we want you to preach a short sermonette to us, for us. And he got through with a sermonette. The board said, brother, we think you got the wrong calling. What is it? I saw GP. Maybe it meant go plow. You see, everybody that carries a Bible, everybody that says he's called, God does a calling. And I've never met a young man or an elderly that ever, when the call came, that accepted right, they fought it. They rejected it. They said, no, I can't do it. I was one of them. But when God calls us, I'll tell you what we need to do. In order to have a sound message, sound preaching, then we need to study ourselves the Word of God that we can rightly discern it and preach it to you. But every message that you and I preach, at the end of it, we ought to give an invitation that points people to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
That points them that you need to have the shedding of your remission of sins by the blood. The shedding of blood will remove your sins, is what I'm trying to say to you. We need that. I don't care what they're saying, that the blood, the spirit, the word is all old-fashioned. Listen, we as ministers, evangelists, all of us need to preach heaven, a beautiful place, and hell, hot. And you don't want to go there. And the Word of God gives us information that it's hell is enlarging itself. It's not all that says, Lord, Lord. It's not all that the obituary says. You know, they're going to heaven. He said, few there be, you see. We ought to preach that there's only one way. I don't care what they're telling you. I don't care what they're saying. There's only one way. And it's the way of the cross. It's the way of the blood. And without the Spirit, you're none of His. We don't react to the Spirit the same way. Some will get emotional. I do. Some will wave their hands. And I'm telling you something that I noticed. You may think I'm not observing. But I saw some of you in this revival were raising your hands. And that just blessed me. What? I said, preacher, I always thought that was Pentecostal. Who told you that? Who told you that? The Word of God says, lifting up holy hands without grace or doubting. Yeah. So there's only one name. Acts 4 and 12 says, given under heaven whereby you and I must be. One name. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And I thought as I was looking at this lesson, he was born and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And I thought, gee. Then I read where he died and they wrapped him very tight clothing. So from swaddling clothes to burial clothes, it all corresponds to me. How important that it was, you see. So there's only one name. There's only one door to heaven. Yeah. Heaven is a place for prepared people, and we need to tell them that. Timothy was taken over, and Paul was stepping down. His journey was almost over. And this is what Paul instructed young Timothy. Preach the word. Will everybody agree with it? Not so. Not so. They crucified him, and he was the Son of God. They're not going to agree with it. Yeah. But you preach it anyway. And have God to give you the grace and the strength and stand on the promises of God. You see, it's not by works. But make sure that you tell them about the unmerited favor of God. that we did not deserve, that we could not work up to it, but it's what God wanted us to have. And make sure that you preach grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That in this present world, in this present world, in 2017, with things are getting worse and worse and worse, when we keep on reading what's taking place, in this present world, we can live a victorious, sanctified, and overcoming life through Jesus Christ. God gives us the victory. And if you furnish the Lord, the man, he'll furnish the grace to you. You see, we as ministers, that's what makes a good church. Spiritually, now, I'm not talking about the outside building. I'm not talking about the beauty of it. That's all well and good, and I'm glad that these men had put the sound system and fixed the altar and the flowers. That's all thrilling, and I need to commend you for that. But the thing that is more important, that when they get inside, when they come to visit, when they're looking for a church to make their very own, that it's a church that believes in the Spirit, that believes in the blood, that believes in the cross, and that only, not only that, but exposes sin to the fullest and exalts Christ. A little boy was painting a picture, and he got all involved in painting that picture. And his teacher said to him, "Billy, what are you painting?" He said, "I'm painting a picture, teacher." He said, "Of what?" He said, "Of Christ." "Billy, Billy, nobody has ever seen Christ." He said, "When I get through with this picture, teacher, they'll see him." Can they see Christ in you? Your daily life. Not so much what we say, but our actions. Our walk, our talk, you see. What kind of picture are we painting for the world? Is it one that glorifies him? Is it one like John the Baptist said, that we decrease and he increases? Or is it just a church member, that church is not that important? But listen, God needs to be glorified, and he can empower every one of us. One more, and I'm through. And this is very important, you see, very important, because it gives us the privilege of calling on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords anytime, any place, anywhere. He gave us a little instruction. He said, "Get into your closet and pray." But you know what? When Moses went to the hill, when he came out, there was a radiance. When you pray, and I don't mean just "now I lay me down to sleep," not just the Lord's Prayer by memory, but I mean when you get down to praying, mean business. You're not talking to me. You're not talking to anybody. You're talking to the King. And the good part about it, the Bible says, is his ears is open to our cry. So we need to have an effectual prayer life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, you see. I remember years ago when I first came in this, He said, you know, and I knew the lady, this lady I want to use right now. She's now gone. Her son preached our revival last year. But if you've never been in service with Bertha Perdue and heard her pray and her home, she was a woman of prayer that could preach the throne of grace. I had a fellow pastor that he said, if you're praying and it's not going any farther than your head, say amen to that and pray again till you get through. Yeah. Oh, preacher, what do you mean get through? You know when you make contact with him in prayer. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? It delights him that you want to spend some time. Are you troubled? Are you worried? Are you full of fear and doubt? Pray. Pray. And pray. Now, you don't have to reveal it. God hears it. Paul and Silas got in trouble. In jail. But it's strange that at midnight they were singing and began to pray. And God's power moved. And you know, this week it's been a powerful. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. I'm telling you, it was good. And everybody that I talked to said, wasn't that a good service? And if you missed it, I'm sorry. You can have it on tapes. They'll give them to you. But it's not going to be like if you'd been here. That night, Paul and Silas were set free. The jailer thought, I'm going to take my life. They're going to cave. He said, no, we're right here. And something happened. There was a soul saved and his family. Daniel, he said, don't pray. When they said he couldn't pray, and they got that decree, he looked towards Jerusalem, opened the window. He said, you're going to the lion's den? Yeah. Can I use my terminology with that? Well, Daniel, what happened? He said, I had good cushions. He said, they just laid there, and I just laid my head on them. What did it, preacher? I think it was the power of God that closed the jaws of the lions. The Hebrew children. And when they went in, they came out without smelling fire. And guess what? They said, we saw the fourth man. 3-4 points. We need fellowship. We need prayer. We need the teaching. And we need the sound preaching for our church to continue to grow spiritually. All the other programs are good, but all the programs, all that we do, it all ought to point us to Calvary. You see, point us to the Lamb of God. Point us to a redeeming Savior. Would you bow your heads as the pianist comes? That's my message. How to have a great church. A beautiful church. You see, don't look, but just, I'm going to make a sign here. I've got my fingers crossed to show you the steeple, but it's not the steeple that makes the church. It's the people. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the rock. That rock is Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that we have, Lord God, a place where we can fellowship without fear of somebody, Lord God, telling us not to. We can pray our Father in our closet. Wherever that we are, we can pray. We can hear the word taught and received encouragement. We can hear the word preached and help us, Father, to make us wise unto salvation. Have your way, Lord God. We thank you for this week that we rejoice. And Father, I believe you was glorified and you was honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with us.
Page 35, 35. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in?
Yes, yes.
There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to step toward the Savior, my friend. You'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he
time. This is where our concern is, our vision, and I'm thankful for the other churches, don't get me wrong. But what completes our services, and Mike asked the question, was anybody saved? Not to my knowledge, but I tell you what, there was a lot of people helped and encouraged and lifted up through our services this past week. Don't forget the service tomorrow, tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be looking for you. Would you buy your